just wanna pull up with my niggas, son, and get into something. Pop out at the liquor store and leave my engine running. I back in the whip and then we slide. Playing my mirrors, catch the police, get behind, love. I might do the dash on them. Paper plates, no tags on them. Jumping out that bitch to going back, some. Back in the whip and then we slide. Ay. Playing my mirrors, catch the police, get behind.
Hey, just left France, I'm headed to San Fran. Touched 20 grand and bought me another Benz. Off white pants, RP to the man. Virgil got me in my bag more than my hands. The streets in the jam, EDD scams. Got cut short, now it's rob whoever you can. I told the Brody we could go kick it soon as I land, but we gotta have a plan. These niggas ain't out here playing. Nah. See, I just wanna pull up to the liquor store and smoke a blunt with Edie Bo. Like I used to when I was trying to get a first loaf from Willie Joe. Shh. Now it's all on me. People who I call don't gotta call on me. Facts. I made it out of the streets, but I still let up my seat when I ride by police.
I just wanna pull out with my niggas, son.
Man, I'm not gonna be able to take shit serious with this guy with us. You're such a goofy.
He's forgetting how to do the show, man.
it's a little cold open. You know what I mean? Just getting right to the action. anyways, well, since I forgot how to do the show, Youngish, you can introduce us. Tell the people who's talking, all that good stuff.
We're back. It's running back, back volume a lot.
Big number.
Got the guy Lee in the building. It's me, Youngest. Lee, how you doing? Say hello to the people.
I'm chilling, man. Hope everybody's doing okay. At the time of this recording, I just read Rolling Stone's top 200 hip-hop albums of all time. I'm ready to put my head through a door.
Nasty, oh, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that list was terrible.
Nasty list. Some nasty.
Oh, yeah. That third verse. Holy shit, that third voice you're hearing is Blonded. Say hello to the people,
boy. Hey, what up, everybody? It's Blonded, aka Eddie Get the Bands, aka Where Your Fridge At, aka Big Titties, aka What's Going On, aka Sexiest Dude in the Discord. What's up, everybody?
I don't told you that either. Why are
like... That's the first time I ever muted my laptop while we were recording.
I'm thankful for you guys having me on here. I don't know whose decision it was, but you just saved your podcast with this.
Guess whose decision it was right now. Live on there. Guess who was like, we should bring Blonded on.
It was Lee. It had to be Lee.
No.
Damn.
It was Young. It was you? Sorry, I've been playing so much Apex with Lee. Like, me and Young, we've never had a conversation like over like an actual medium.
Yeah,
we've just had our cohesive. Had...
Whole lot of cohesive talk today. No, like, Lee brought up the idea. I said that's a good idea, and he said, "Should we have a guest?" I said, "Let's bring someone that we don't normally bring on." I was like, "Shit, have we had Blonded on yet?" Because like sometimes I don't listen to the episodes I'm not on. And Lee was like, "No, we haven't had Blonded on yet." So,
yeah. Well, thank you then. I honestly the only one I've talked to was Lee, who has been on the cord from the cord. Who has been on here with both of y'all on here?
Oh, not everyone, because people are still asking.
I can't say everyone.
A lot of people.
If you haven't been on yet, you're more than welcome to hit us up. And
yeah, DM Youngest, man, you will make something happen.
All right, bet. Because
I know there's some shy people too. There are some people that want to be on but are like waiting for an invite. Don't wait for. There are people that are like asking us to hop on episodes all the time. We will think about you, but like,
we don't bite.
Say less.
But yeah, anyways, all that bullshit aside, Youngest, why are we here right now, bro? What's on the agenda?
So what was the idea Lee came up with? Lee said we should talk about sequel albums.
Yep.
Sequel albums in rap in particular, ones that are number twos. All three of us kind of picked our favorite, but there's a lot that we can talk about. Blonded, let me ask you first. When you hear that an album you like is getting a sequel, what is your expectation for that album? And what is your expectation on how it should sound?
So a couple I guess really I want to think about that question specifically when it comes to specific albums. And I think if we look at my album, Man on the Moon 2, or even kind of with Beast Mode 2 and the Carter 2, I just, if there's a story, even if the story is kind of loose thematically, is this start of this part of something larger? So for example, Man on the Moon is obviously a trilogy. The Carter, I think, how many Carters are there at this point? The more than a trilogy.
Five,
unless you want to count Thug. And then Beast Mode, I think, is just two. But like, is there a larger story at hand? Kind of, that's kind of like what I think about when I think about like that. And also I think about the vibe of whatever the first one is, because I'd imagine that the second one would follow a similar vibe, albeit they expand on it in a different way, whether they make it happier or they make it sadder. So for example, with like Beast Mode 2, I feel like it's a little bit more depressed than Beast Mode 1. Or for like Carter 2, I feel like that's kind of Wayne like cementing his spot, like really proclaiming that from in Carter 2, really cementing his spot, proclaiming it from Carter 1, like, I am the best rapper alive, you know, having a song literally titled it. And then Man on the Moon 2 is just a lot. He gets even darker and goes, I mean, there's like interviews and stuff where Cuddy talks about like his cocaine depression and things like that. And yeah, there's like that story element there more than the other two. But yeah, that's kind of what I look at. Just what are they expanding on? And, you know, kind of hope for similar success.
Yeah.
So Lee, kind of, I was asking Blonded for the positive, for the negative when you hear a sequel album for something you think doesn't need a sequel or something. What's something that you're wary of when you see a sequel album where you're like, gosh,
it definitely happens, especially sequel albums when they come so far in the future. I'm very wary of, like, if you drop your debut, you drop like four albums in between, and now you're talking about a sequel to your debut. I get really nervous when that happens, because I'm just thinking cash grab, or you're trying to capture some nostalgia that really isn't there. always get nervous of that. And it can show maybe someone's like scared to grow. You're scared to do a new thing. You want to rely on something from the past that worked. That's not all. That is sometimes good, sometimes not good. Sometimes you need to do new things.
Yeah, I think that's really the big thing. Like you were saying, that if there's a huge gap, one of the first ones that comes to mind to me right now, just because I'm looking at it as I'm perusing while we talk, is like Port of Miami 2 by Rick Ross.
Yeah.
Like, did you run out of ideas?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, you talked about trying to capture an essence, and Port of Miami 2 doesn't sound a single thing like Port of Miami 1. It's kind of just throwing the name on there to attract people to come back and listen. Kind of just running out of ideas, but maybe running out of hype a little bit and trying to find something that'll get people excited for your next project. But there are times it does work. This is going to sound a little weird. I do think the documentary 2 by The Game is actually a pretty good showing. Mm-hmm. And
2.5. In my
opinion. I'm trying to remember. Is 2.5 like legitimately another album, or is it just like an extra 10 songs?
Yeah, I think it's more of like 2. But yeah.
What about DS2?
DS2 is a different conversation in general. No, because I think Dirty Sprite 1 is less of a Blonde's gonna yell at me. I think it's less of a cohesive project.
Right.
Like, I think it was like Future doing a mixtape.
Just a flex, yeah.
Yeah. And then Dirty Sprite 2 was him kind of taking whatever ideas he had all together at that point.
The Shutterstock photo goes crazy on that album cover.
The textbook photo?
Yeah. Color drop in water, photographed in motion, ink swirling in water. That is the description of it.
I guess I want both of you to answer this. What are some, obviously not the ones you picked, but what are some sequels that you like more than the original?
In music?
That's good.
Yeah.
I like Carter 2 more than Carter 1, but obviously we're going to talk about that. I think Food and Liquor, Food and Liquor 1 is better. Yeah, not very many times the sequel is better.
Yeah, really? Happen. I think there are times when it's like the sequel is good, but to say the sequel is better than the original.
And just to clarify, when we're saying sequel, we're talking specifically about like albums that are called Such and Such 2 or Such and Such 3.
Yes.
Even, I consider Stillmatic an Illmatic sequel.
Yeah. I mean, that's with it. I was gonna say if it plays on the name of it, but like
yeah.
I'm looking up here, like 2001 is listed as a sequel to The Chronic. Yeah. I don't count that. You know, that's
see, I do personally. Dream Chaser. I think The Chronic is better either way. But I don't know if that's
I see here like The Inspiration is considered a sequel to Trap Music 101, which no, I don't count that. Damn, you guys really I have a few. For one
what do you have?
I got Dirty Sprite 2. I got Run the Jewels 2. I've got what was the other one that was on my mind? I mean, the Carter 2, obviously, for me.
Argument is Carter 2 versus Carter 3, but that's a whole nother discussion.
I know Lee might disagree with you there.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that.
I thought maybe I thought Volume 2. Life and Times, Sean Carter, Volume 2, but I like Volume 1 more personally.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty close.
Does Volume 2 have the Annie sample?
It does have Hard Knock Life, yeah.
No, then that's better than Volume 1 to me. That has to be one of the greatest sample flips of all time.
Blonded, I'm not talking Jay-Z with Blonded. Let's move on.
Yeah, sorry. But main point, it is tough. It happened a lot.
What's up?
It doesn't happen a lot for some odd reason.
It does.
Oh, the other one. I do like Savage Mode 2 more than Savage Mode 1. I don't know if that's a hot take.
Interesting.
I prefer one, but I don't think it's a hot take.
If we want to open up the discussion to mixtapes, then it's a whole other thing. So, like, I like The Drought 2 better than The Drought 1. I like Dedication 2 more than Dedication 1. I like I Am Just a Rapper 2 by Childish Gambino more than I Am Just a Rapper 1, even though the whole I Am Just a Rapper series is pretty good to me.
Yeah.
Dream Chasers, Flamers.
Dream Chasers 2, actually. Yeah, that's really
yeah, good. Dream Chasers.
Mixtapes makes it a little more interesting. Albums is tough. It's tough albums.
What's the Wiz album with Taylor Alderdice? Isn't that a number two as well?
I think Taylor Alderdice is the name of a mixtape.
Yeah, that's the name of
it. Oh, it is? Oh, damn.
Glass House is the series that he did, I think.
The trap series he did, the number two was better than number one. What is it, Cabin Fever? Cabin Fever 2 went crazy. And Cabin Fever 1 was crazy too, but Cabin Fever 1 was more like on that. Who produced Ham? Who made Ham? What was his name?
Why am I blanking?
That was the name. That was the vibe that Cabin Fever 1 had the whole time. Was it Lex Luger? Lex Luger.
Yeah, Lex Luger. Why did I blank on Lex Luger?
Yeah.
We could probably do a whole episode on Lex Luger in the future.
Probably. His influence. My influence. Yeah.
What's
your influence on Lex Luger, tell us what's your influence on Lex Luger.
No, he's influenced. I have all his beat packs. I have all his sounds.
Oh, he influenced you.
Yeah. I love Lex Luger. I love Lex Luger sounds.
I'm gonna be honest, bro. You about 10 years too late. I don't know if people are looking for Lex Luger.
Oh no, not at all. But he has a good snare in here every now and then. You know, when you're looking for snares, everyone's using the Wheezy kit right now.
He really like encapsulated a time that I don't think we ever need to revisit.
No.
I don't know. If somebody is like, I got 12 Lex Luger produced joints right now for an 8.
Who do you want on? All right, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna take this sidetrack. So if Lex Luger were to come back and be like, I got 10 fresh ones and they are real good beats, who would you want on them?
It would have to be somebody. It would have to be like almost like how we did with Girl Talk. It would have to be that kind of thing where
older people.
Yeah, we're going to go
down the list of things that have charted by Lex Luger. So Hard in the Paint went gold.
Yeah, Lex Luger.
Lex Luger's got some shit.
He had Ham. Yeah, I'm just seeing, like, has he actually... But I'm trying to see if he's changed his styles. Bake Sale, same thing. Champions.
It's Wiz, honestly. I might pick Wiz for this hypothetical take. I liked him on the Girl Talk joint.
It says here the last single he produced was MLK Boulevard, Jeezy featuring Meek Mill.
Oh, wow.
On TM 104, The Legend of the Snowman.
There's a TM-104?
Yeah.
I like 103. There isn't a 102, I don't think. There
might and be. He produced Black Madonna by Azealia Banks in 2020. So that's where, that's a Lex Luger feature, by the way. He has some little B placements, little scrappy placements, Slim Thug, Tyga, Big K. Yeah, it doesn't seem like he did. I'm trying to scroll to what year are we in? Year of Our Lord.
2022.
So his first placements go all the way back to 2009.
Yeah, I thought Lex Luger. I thought
Lex Luger and Find a Wrestler.
Oh, so he actually did a whole EP with TJ Six. Is that how you say it?
The Scam Dude?
Yeah. A Generation Scam EP.
Yeah.
That's a whole Lex Luger tape.
I'm a little interested in that. I'm a sicko, so I'm probably going to listen to that tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
I didn't know Lex Luger produced that way. That's actually super impressive.
Yeah. He also produced Waptober 2, Richer Than Everybody on Gucci Mane's album.
Yeah. That's a crazy like run. He started off with Hard in the Paint, Blown Money Fast, Ham, Hustle Hard, and Grove Street Party. Those are his first five.
Hustle Hard went
all five of those. Like that.
Yeah.
Nuts run.
I feel like he kind of wanted to fall back a little bit. So that's kind of where he is. But anyways, good little Lex. What's up? Yeah.
All right. We're getting back on track.
Yeah.
What's our episode? No. So we each picked a sequel album we wanted to talk about, maybe our favorite, maybe just one we wanted to talk about. I picked Beast Mode 2 by Future. Blonded picked Man on the Moon 2 by Kid Cudi, and Lee picked the Carter 2. So I think we should let our guests go first.
No, he wants to go last.
I wanted to go last.
Oh, you want to go last?
Right, yeah.
You missed
Lee, talk to me about the Carter 1 leading into the Carter 2.
When you look at the main thing, in my opinion, from the Carter 1 to the Carter 2, it's the departure of Manny Fresh. Manny Fresh was all over the Carter 1, and he's one of the highlights of the Carter 1. The production, obviously, making these kind of like freestyle-esque hookless songs super catchy. Like, obviously, you look at a Go DJ, Cash Money Millionaires. Even his vocal performance is really great. So when you get to the Carter 2 and there's not really any Manny Fresh, it's kind of like, okay, what's going to happen? How are we going to make these songs work without Manny Fresh? And Lil Wayne just makes this step. It's crazy how he does it. A lot of similar stuff from the Carter 1. Still like freestyle-y, hookless kind of tracks. But he steps up the rapping here. Like, I can really see the progression in the rapping from the Carter 1 to the Carter 2. When he's making, you know, his I'm the greatest rapper alive, when he's making those statements, he really puts that effort forward on these songs. Not a lot of, like, catchy radio attempts. You've got your firemen, you've got your shooters, but there's not really a ton of that. A lot of this is just, I'm about to be rapping on some hard shit, and I'm the best rapper alive, and I'm approving. So that's what I love about the Carter 2. Compared to one, I love both.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me with one, I think it's really raw.
Yep.
It's not, and Carter 2 really polishes all his strengths. There's a lot of songs on one which I like a lot, but they're, like you said, the absence of Manny Fresh. Manny Fresh on one, like, gives the intro to a lot of songs, and he kind of takes over songs and hooks, and like he's got a certain style within his production that requires a certain type of rap to like be put over it. And Wayne is kind of I wouldn't say being like held back, but he's being kept to that one style throughout.
Yeah.
Which leads a really good album, but then Carter 2, he's kind of unleashed. Production's a little more polished. It's not as raw.
And I think that if you look at, I mean, it's kind of evident in, and Lee kind of touched on this as well, but it's evident when you look at the track listing as well from Carter 1 into the Carter 2, because the Carter 1 has is walk in and walk out. And then, you know, Wayne kind of more polishes his fifth studio album. He at this point feels he is the best rapper alive. He's been putting so many mixtapes out all the time on top of his album and all this other stuff. Like at this point, he's flying in, like on the Carter 2, and flying out. At this point, he's spread his wings and he's kind of, you know, ascended, and he can feel it, and he has that confidence of bravado in his voice that he's ascending. And I think that's part of what makes the Carter 2 so good to me. And also, I do like a bit of the experimentation. I think the removal of Manny Fresh, you know, as there may be cons to it, the pros of that is that he did get to experiment more. I think a highlight of that could be Mo Fire. So yeah. With the reggae elements, yeah. Like that's a really like it was. It's different from what Wayne would usually do, but he did it really well. And yep, then, and so I think that you look at him kind of coming to his own and really accepting his artistry. And this is the good version of that. The bad version of this is Rebirth. However, this is the good version of that. And I think Wayne was really, really coming into his own at this time. And I think he really cemented that with the Carter 3 versus the Carter 2. But the Carter 2 was like his arrival, like I'm here, and like putting everybody like really on notice when you talk about who is at the top of rap right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's solidifying for him for sure.
And shout out to Young Currency on the album.
Yeah. Currency might have the verse of the album in my opinion.
Honestly, that was something that this might get people mad at me, but that was something that caught my ear when I was re-listening like the last week or so. Grown Man's one of my favorite Wayne songs, like definitely top three for me. And I was listening to the Currency verse. I was like, holy shit. If you think about how long Currency's been doing this at this high of a level and where we're at with Wayne in 2022, it's a little fucked up. Yeah. Like Currency get a second wind after like 5 years ago, years ago, Currency hit a second wind where he's like reestablishing himself as like a serious, like a legit good commercial rapper in some sense.
And he could have stopped too, and he still would have been a legend, like off Pilot Talk alone.
And Currency had a lot of label issues too, which played a part of it, I'm sure.
The Dame Dash issues.
Yeah, like, but yeah, there is just something to Currency still being on that level, you know, being able to give a verse to Wayne like this way back then and then still being able to do what he does now. Cause yeah, I do think that this Currency feature, it might be my favorite verse on the whole project. Like I really, really like what Currency does.
All right, since we're talking about favorites and stuff, Lee, tell me like highlights, lowlights, favorite songs, favorite verses, favorite beats, stuff like that.
So for the most part, I think the features do good. I think the features sans Corrupt, Black and Nova Corrupt, I think is the only song I don't like on this project. I think it is just bad.
Yeah.
It's a weird combination. I do respect him getting Corrupt because, like, if you're trying to say you're the greatest rapper of alive, it's cool to go back a little bit and get like great MCs from different times too. But that didn't work for me.
And from a different region. That's a big
thing. Exactly. Yeah, because there is a big thing of I'm the best rapper alive and I'm from the South. That's a big part of the Carter 2 as well, the Southern element. But yeah, I like the features for the most part. I love Currency. Robin Thicke on Shooter, I think they have a good back and forth. Then you get into some like solo tracks. Hustler Music, I think, is one of those like Wayne songs that I kind of wish I was there for. Like, I wish I was in college riding around when Hustler Music was out. Carter 2, the title track, I love the way he raps on there. There's just so many songs where I'm just like, oh man, like he's just really rapping and he's not stopping for like a hook. He's not getting like a feature from like an R&B singer on all these songs. He's just gonna like rap for a long time. A lot of these songs are long. He's just gonna rap for like 5.5 minutes.
Well, one, songs were longer back then, but also like again, that was really him like cementing, like he really wanted to prove, at least I feel like, and especially like as somebody who, even though I was really young back then, I was heavy into mixtapes or whatever, like I follow the game closely, and like he, that was him, Wayne, to me, really some trying to cement his spot. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm from the South or whatever, a Southern rapper can be lyrical and be the best rapper alive. And on top of that, he showed instances, I think, again, expanding on like his artistry, like he really like showed he was learning and getting how to write a hit. I think when you look at like stuff that the suburbs can still mess with. So I think when you look at like shooters and also what is the and hustler music or things like that, like he really like was starting to get the hang of it. I think he really got that for sure, obviously in the Carter 3, which has so many hits on it. But this to me really was just like him, like the lack of hooks or whatever in some parts is really just him cementing that I am the best rapper alive part, which what makes it so good to me.
Yeah, I love that element. And there are so many other songs. Like I said, the title track, I'm a D-boy, like you get the Birdman.
Yeah.
So I love that. Love the beats. Like the sample flip on Receipt is amazing. Like Receipt is one of those beats that I could really just hear the beat by itself. Love the commercial records. I love Fireman. I really, like I said, outside of Lock and Load, I really like love everything about this. Fireman is, I'm playing Fireman all the time. Grown Man, I'm playing a lot. Hustler Music, and Receipt, just for the damn beautiful sample play.
Blonded, what's your favorite beat on Carter 2?
My favorite beat? My favorite is probably Hustler Music. My favorite beat is probably Hustler Music. Like, Hustler Music to me sounds timeless. Hustler Music is like, I would remember being in New York City visiting family and like walking around listening to Hustler Music, and it'd be like cold out, and I would imagine myself, I'm in the Babe jacket that Lil Wayne wears, and I have the sunglasses on or whatever, and like I'm just out here and getting it. Hustler Music to me is so, so good, and I still love it and bump it to this day. But also, if I'm in the mood, Mo Fire, like, is to me one of the most, like, it is just such a creative track, and I really, really like the reggae elements. I thought Wayne did it really, really, really well. But yeah, for me, it definitely has to be Hustler Music. Although I do like Receipt, which to me feels like the spiritual like parent or like predecessor of Dr. Carter. Like he kind of starts playing with that idea of a metaphor being the whole song with the Receipt, and then you know he kind of expands on that in Dr. Carter. But yeah.
Yeah, Receipt's one of my favorites on there. My favorite beat on there, I was asking y'all because I was hoping someone would say it. Y'all haven't mentioned Oh No yet. Oh No is definitely my favorite beat on there.
Yeah.
But the main thing with Wayne, especially with Carter 2, is like he hits that mixtape run immediately after. And I know there's a giant
he didn't stop
there's a giant contingent that thinks that he had both quality and quantity there, and I think there was a certain point where he kind of changed that as a rapper and became more of like a punchline rapper. And there became more of a formula to his songs. That formula succeeded more times than it disappointed. Like it worked a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the Carter 2 is the last time you can hear him simply making music and not really following that formula. And it's songs, like you said, like Receipt, where you kind of hear him experimenting with making a whole song a metaphor.
Yeah.
Or you think of a song like Shooter, where he talks about the importance of being a rapper from the South.
Yeah.
And you think of something like More Fire. And I just don't see that as the same rapper that does the like life is a bitch and I'm just playing in a sand kind of lines. Like
sure.
Like the punchlines aren't really there, and he feels more traditional in this sense. And I mean that's why I like the Carter 2 a lot. And I think it's that middle ground of what he was doing early on with the Hot Boys and where he ended up with the Carter 3 and beyond.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, that's the downside of I'm going to put out, like, 5 or 6 projects a year.
There's only so much you can say.
It is. It's tough. If you want to keep growing with your material, experimenting with new things, and, like, have good music that you want to sit and take time with, it's hard if you want to put out that much music a year. So I agree with you, that absolutely happened, that I would say around this time, and it only got worse as time progressed. But
I mean, in his defense, it's especially leading up to the Carter 3, which I think got delayed like once because of it or whatever, similar to Juice WRLD and Playboi Carti after him, at that point in time, Lil Wayne was getting a lot of shit leaked. A lot of his stuff was leaking all the time, and there was a lot of unofficial Wayne mixtapes where there early things of like Let the Beat Build were leaking, early things of like there's a whole different Amiliverse. Like Amili sounded different initially, I think, if I'm not mistaken. That could definitely part of it, but also like he's been in the game like 20 almost 30 something years at this point. There's only so much you could say, so I'm not surprised that's where his artistry went, but yeah, I definitely see what Youngest is saying there.
Last thing, rank the Cardinals.
Two, three, one, four, five. And I think five is the only one I don't really like.
Let me see the Carter 5 track list. Hold on. I know number one. I know
you have to look up the Carter 5 track list.
I just want to make sure. But I know for a fact three is one for me. It's probably three, two, one, three, two, one, four, five.
And then I'm going to go two, three, one, a decent gap, four.
Yeah.
An even bigger gap, five.
The Carter 4 has an amazing posse cut.
Also, the outro was Shine. Bro, he brought Shine back for this.
That is the
bro.
Outro, I think.
It's also the interlude with Tech N9ne and Andre 3000, then the interlude outro. I mean with Tech N9ne and Andre 3000, and the intro, like all those three, it's the same beat, so they all go together or whatever. But like that has to be, I don't want to make this a conversation about Carter 4. The fact that he got Tech N9ne's probably greatest verse ever is insane.
Yeah, I mean the Carter 4 is not bad. Like I think in retrospect, some people try to shit on it just because it was like a big moment.
It's
like,
I just think it's Wayne past his prime at that point.
Yeah, and I think it was. It's hard to you can't deny how big of a moment the Carter 4 was. That was a fucking big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Like seeing videos on 106 in Park, hearing them on the radio at that time. Like that was a big deal. So, I mean, yeah, in retrospect. The album probably wasn't as good for as big of a deal it was, but yeah, there's definitely still some shit on there.
He had How to Love on there, which I guess.
Like. How to Love's not on the Carter 4, is it? No, it's on Rebirth. Carter 4, like, so what I was about to say is Carter 4 stinkers, like the bad songs on the Carter 4 are not as bad as the bad songs on Carter 3 in my eyes. I think the shit on Carter 3 that doesn't work really doesn't fucking work.
What to you doesn't work on the Carter 3?
A lollipop for one.
You don't think lollipop worked?
Hey, come on, man.
Bro, you don't think lollipop worked? First off, RIP
you a grown major. Man right now. RIP listen to lollipop and tell me you like that
I
shit.
Know.
I'll do it right now.
I think in retrospect, lollipop at this point sounds dated. I think if you look at when it came out at the time, and especially you look, number one, we have to acknowledge Lollipop's influence, which I guess if you want to go to T-Pain, cool, but like Lollipop's influence, like Wayne really, really going into that autotune thing, that was kind of the start of it. Number one,
bro,
number two,
bro, it can have as much, it could influence the cure of cancer, it doesn't make it a good song.
No, Lollipop is a good song, man.
Lollipop's a good song to me. Shout out to Jim Johnson,
Mrs. Officer.
What is wrong with you?
What are you talking about?
Man.
Pussy Monster, get it out of here.
Right. Skip Bayless's favorite song, Pussy Monster. Are you kidding me?
Got Money doesn't really work.
What? Nah, come on, man. What do you mean? I can't believe. Like, how does Got Money not work?
What?
Got Money is crazy.
Got Money was so crazy they were playing it in Journeys, bro. What are you talking about?
Honestly, I'm looking at the Carter 4. Damn, I had the Carter 3 second, didn't I? I think I really just, I really like Comfortable. I really like Let the Beat Build. I really like You Ain't Got Nothing. I really like 3-Peat. I really like a Millie.
I'm also taking.
I like on here. I really, really do.
Maybe it's also. Maybe I'm also taking into account like how much of a moment the Carter 3 was, though, too, because everybody was talking at that point, like, "Oh my God, is he going to surpass Jay-Z? Is he going to be a better rapper than Jay-Z?" This, like, it was just always the conversation was Wayne and Jay-Z, and then the Carter 3 dropped, and he did a million in 1 week. When everybody was trying to speculate, will he do a million a week? Will he do a million a week? Will he do a million a week? And he really cemented that. Like, the Carter 3 to me is such a moment in hip hop history for Wayne. Yeah. That, like, maybe that's why I have it number one for me, because I just remember all the hype. There was so much pressure on him to deliver.
Listen, I was there too. I remember Sway on fucking MTV, and they used to do the bracket on who's the best rapper in the game. And all that shit.
And Wayne got one.
And Wayne was like, winning. I remember all you're talking about. I'm just saying, listening to the music now, there are a lot of stuff on there I don't like as much.
I feel that. That's crazy.
All right.
You chose Got Money over Phone Home.
We'll talk about that later.
Wheezy Phone Home. That chorus annoyed me.
I like Mr. Carter too. I know a lot of people are down on Mr. Carter, but
I like Mr. Carter was also kind of similar to his moment.
What's up? Jay-Z's on it. That's why people are down on it.
Yeah,
but that was like his. That's his thing. He's like, I gotta have that Jay-Z feature. I gotta out rap the best rapper alive.
Like back and forth on that.
Bro, I think me too.
All right, look at the Carter 4 real quick. I did have the Carter 3 better before people start fucking yelling at me. But look at the Carter 4 real quick. We got Blunt Blowing. You got Mega Man, Mega Man, 6 Foot, 7 Foot, and that's the first three Wayne's only songs. Like.
Fire.
That's a hell of a start. You got shit like She Will, just kind
of
like
On My Mama, I'm Out of My Lima Bean, right?
Yeah. You got John on there. You got President Carter. I like.
You also have How to Love.
How to Hate. Is How to Love on here? Damn, How to Love is a, what the fuck is on Rebirth, man?
Rebirth had to drop the world.
Oh, buddy.
Listen, mate, I like Carter 4. I think Carter 4 is good. I just think Carter 3 is a little better.
I personally think Carter 3 is better.
Hold on, that one is cool.
I take back what I said. The shit that stinks on Carter 4 is just as bad as the shit that stinks on Carter 3.
Yeah. I do. You just think more shit stinks on Carter 3 than I do. Like, I would never say Got Money stinks.
Yeah, I can't.
And you said Mrs. Officer? Like, that's crazy. That's insane, bro.
We're not going up for fucking wee. Calm down.
Come on, bro.
Women love Mrs. Officer. Come on, man. You throw that on with a shorty in the car.
I didn't know anybody didn't love Mrs. Officer until now.
That's crazy. Yeah, you're the first person I've ever met that was like, I don't like Mrs. Officer.
Yeah, if you don't like Mrs. Officer,
Rodney like Cake, Bobby baby, Valentino, yeah, beat too. It like that's a cop is insane.
Yeah, and that's your type of R&B too. I just don't understand it. If you don't
I like Bobby V too. I just
I would have understood your take more if you were like, I just don't like Rodney King, baby. I beat it like a cop or whatever. I got you. That's what.
What's the? I will say though, Comfortable is one of my favorite Kanye beats doing R&B. Like,
shout out Babyface. Yeah. Shout out Kanye on that, John.
All right.
We done with the Carter 2?
Yeah,
anything else left on the Carter
2? Oh, but last thing. You guys probably don't remember, but it was right after the Carter 2 dropped. Or so either right after the like Carter 2.
Four.
No, it was either Carter 2 or Carter 3, but Wayne was on First Take. Wayne went to First Take. And Skip said, before we start, I just have to tell you, I love your album. My favorite song of yours is the song Monster. The only song that Wayne had titled Monster at that point was Pussy Monster.
Oh, you're talking about Carter 3, not Carter 2.
Oh, yeah, Carter 3. Sorry. The only song that Wayne had was... It's an insane clip. I mean, it's funny because Wayne is just thankful, but everyone... I remember the discourse back then when everyone was like, the only song he has with Monster in it is Pussy Monster.
Listen, Skip, that was a wild boy.
Skip a little kinky, man.
Yeah. Hey, every if you know
him
and
Ernestine.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Love the
Carter 2's perfect.
Yeah.
Carter 2 is perfect.
So Carter 2 I give Carter 2 4.5 out of 5 blondeds. How many
blondes
do you give
USD?
I'll give it. I'll give it five blondes.
Five blondes out of five blondes.
Okay. I'm giving it a full five blondes.
Full five blondes. Nice. All
right. Let's get to this next one.
This next one. What's the next one? Oh,
Beast Mode.
Yeah.
Beast Mode 2.
Talking you.
So we are jumping from the year. What year did Carter 2 come out?
2005.
2005. We're jumping all the way to 2018. 2018, right?
It's my era.
Four years.
I was running the streets. Bro. I remember.
He was out here.
Yeah. I feel like I told this story on the pod before, but Beast Mode 2 was like kind of surprise drop a little bit.
Yeah.
Like Future tweeted it out at like 8 p.m. like midnight tonight, Beast Mode 2. And I was at an Amine concert and I left early because of this. I was like, I'd rather be home listening to Beast Mode 2 than hear it.
Yeah.
So I dipped out by myself. I was like, all right, I'll catch y'all later. I'm going home and listen to this. And it was worth it. Very much worth it.
Yep, July 6, 2018.
So Beast Mode is a mixtape from Future in the middle of his historic run.
Yes.
After Honest, he drops three mixtapes, Monster, 56 Nights, and Beast Mode. Beast Mode was the one in the middle, I believe. Yeah, it's after Monster, before 56 Nights. Comes out in like January, and it's all produced by Zaytoven. Zaytoven is an Atlanta producer that loves the fucking keyboard. He goes crazy on the keyboard, plays the piano like hell. And actually, out of that run, between Honest and those three, Beast Mode was kind of my least favorite. So I'm surprised that was the one that got the sequel. But makes sense because he just kind of wanted to work with Zaytoven again. And yeah, Blonded, how do you feel about Beast Mode, the first one?
So I liked Beast Mode. I would probably, from what it sounds like, I probably kind of liked it a little more than you liked it.
No. I like it a lot. I'm being.
But it was your least. It was your least favorite, right?
Out of those three.
Yeah.
It's like, what championship do you least remember? Type deal for Michael Jordan.
Yeah. I feel like. So, my favorite is. Which one was your favorite?
My favorite was Monster.
Yeah, my favorite was Monster too. But then Beast Mode was next, and then 56 Nights for me. Personally, I just really like Beast Mode. Some people like to say Zaytoven gets a little mundane or repetitive or whatever. I personally don't think so. I think that Zaytoven just kind of, I mean, I think when you think of Future, especially when you think of that run he had, he kind of changed the currency in rap from like about lyrics or whatever, not necessarily about lyrics, but just like tone or whatever. He changed it to more so like melodies. Like he wasn't hitting you with a bunch of different bars. It was like, he was hitting you with like, just things that happen to rhyme while also melodizing it really well. And I think Zaytoven and a young and hungry like Metro Boomin were like perfect complements to that. And I think that Zaytoven and Future really found something with that on Beast Mode. And I think that when you go into Beast Mode 2, Beast Mode 2 just sounds more expensive to me when you come to Zaytoven's beats in comparison to Beast Mode 1. Yeah. But yeah, personally, I really like Beast Mode, but I kind of think I'll go more for... When I run back what I like more, I usually go to Beast Mode 2 more than I do Beast Mode 1.
What about you, Lee? What are your feelings on the first Beast Mode?
It is my least favorite of the trilogy, of his first trilogy, by like a pretty decent amount. Monster's my favorite, and then 56 Nights, and then Beast Mode 3rd. Not that I don't like it, just not as many memorable moments for me, especially as someone who was going back to Beast Mode. I wasn't really like there when it came out listening to it.
Honestly, I don't think I really remember it when it came out.
Yeah.
I don't.
Like, I remember the run. And I think I remember Real Sisters being a single, but like, I remember Monster. Like, I listened to Monster and I listened to 56 Nights when it dropped. I'm trying to recollect if I listened to Beast Mode when it dropped or if it was something I listened to later. I might have been in the same boat as you, like going back for Beast Mode itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, dope project. I mean, when you're talking about that trilogy, it is, like you said, three home runs. You know, you're trying to just decide what you like the most out of those three. I do think Monster is just fucking different. But yeah, I love Beast Mode. And yeah, when Beast Mode 2 dropped, I was like, yeah, interesting that this is the one that gets a sequel. Seemed random to me. But yeah, I was ready for it. I was excited. And ended up liking it as well. So.
Yeah, so I will say what works the best for me on Beast Mode is, as always, I like the upbeat stuff. I think of a song like Ooh, I think of a song like Ain't You, I think of a song like Real Sisters, Just Like My Brothers. Those work because Zaytoven isn't slowing things down. And I think Beast Mode 2 really slows things down.
It does.
And somehow that worked out. It doesn't work in Beast Mode 1. And I guess they went back in the lab and figured things out. And we get to Beast Mode 2, which I think there is no evidence of this, but I really think they decided to do this off the strength of Morilla. I don't know if you guys know the song Morilla.
Yeah.
Zaytoven put out like earlier in that year, earlier in 2018, Zaytoven had put out a like project for himself, where he had all his rapper friends come on and do verses and stuff for him. And one of the standouts on there was Morilla with Future. And it sounded like a Beast Mode, like
a Beast album, Mode track.
Yeah. And then at least I was spinning it forever. So I felt like something was coming between the two. And I think they worked again on DJ Esco's like project that came out in that March. So like we're going from like January to March, and like this momentum's kind of building in there, and it feels like they're talking about doing something. And Future is on this mini run that he's doing, because I just mentioned like he does like an Esco project, basically everything on that Esco project, and then he does this, and he drops the Superfly soundtrack like literally a week later.
Yeah.
And we're less than a year removed away from Super Slimy. Like he's doing this run thing again. So it only felt right in the middle again that he hooks up with Zaytoven and does Beast Mode 2. I would say it kind of, I'm trying to collect my thoughts here. It kind of reaches this point where that Future doesn't sound the same if he's not on a Zaytoven beat. Like he sounds a certain way on this, where they feel like they're one, like they're a collaborative group.
Yeah.
Which he does a lot with a lot of other producers. You think like Nardin B and Southside and a lot of other ones that he works projects with, but it feels like Zaytoven understands him the best and understands the mood that he's trying to set the best.
Yeah. I think this thing does a good job. You kind of mentioned how there's a lot, you know, slow tempo on this. I think, yeah, and that's personally where I love Future the most. But when they do decide to like pick it up in spots, I think it just works really well. Obviously, like the intro, you get Wi-Fi lit. 31 days,
crazy intro.
One. Yeah, yeah. 31 days, another one with a little more tempo to it. Dodo, you get like the scooter reunion. Like when they do decide to turn it up just a little bit, nothing crazy, but I love when they settle in. But yeah, I love like the kind of like slower tempo. You kind of get to dig more into Future's melodic side. This is a year after Hendrix, so
you know who's the best rapper in the world?
Who?
Right now?
Young Scooter, when he gets 16 bars on a Future song. Just give him one verse. Give him one verse on a Future song. He's going to lose his he's going to black out. He's going to lose his fucking mind.
Yeah, and I love seeing Scooter on there.
Yeah.
Like, Future's way of kind of reaching back. But yeah, I like when they go up tempo a little bit, I like it. When they slow it down, like Some More is low-key one of my favorite Future songs. I love
Some More. Some More is more real.
Yeah.
You ever realize that? It's the same fucking song. I was listening to it today, and I started, like, humming Morilla, and I was like, wait.
And it's just like, this is what I love, like, when Future does. Obviously, like, I mean, he kind of did it with, like, Hendrix giving us more of, like, the singing stuff. But if he wanted to just do that for, like, a long period of time, I would love it. Because I think he, you know, he's next level what he does, but he could just do some different shit.
So
the king of R&B. Yeah.
So my favorite tracks from, I have a couple words to say about this project. So my favorite tracks were Wi-Fi Lit, Cuddle My Wrist, 31 Days, When I Think About It, and Hate the Real Me. So I did some research for this project leading up to it, just because I'm not a crazy big Future person. Like I have my moments where I listen to him or whatever, but I couldn't say I was really well versed in whatever he did, other than like that crazy run he had. So in doing some research, I found a couple things that I found interesting after hearing the project. And so they spoke to Zaytoven about kind of the beast mode, you know, thing in general. And he said, it's almost like looking at a pretty painting. And when he said that, I kind of thought about it, and I kind of agreed with it as well. You know, in spite of, it has a lot of beauty to it. Like, these beats sound expensive, and I don't think they sound mundane. And I think Future, with like, he's really found like his niche with like these melodies and stuff. So I think he's on top of it with that. But also, I think that low key, and maybe people have talked about it and discussed it, maybe they haven't, but there are some moments where Future, like, I don't think he glamorizes really the whole like drug abuse and whatever like this. I think it's just kind of, he just talks about what he is, and I don't think that he, like, that is him expressing his pain. I Hate the Real Me is a real example of this. Also on Beast Mode 1, No Basic took all the pain and I ran with it, you know. Yeah. It's just kind of, this is how he manifested himself, and it was pain. You look at somebody like Kid Cudi, who manifests it in a different way, but this is like how Future does. And I think that that's really a sincere part of the album that maybe I think gets overlooked sometimes. I mean, of the project that I think gets overlooked sometimes. Like, he, while other artists may manifest or paint their pain in one way, Future kind of does it while flexing on you, and it sounds really, really good when he does it. I just think the writing part of that stuff is underrated, and I think there's sprinkles of that throughout the whole project, which I really like.
Yeah, I think it's something that people have kind of woken up on. I feel like there was an era where it's the whole Future doesn't really do these drugs like he says, and that makes his music like not valid for like whatever bullshit people were saying. But I agree. Like,
didn't he say Juice WRLD like messed him up with that or something?
I think so, yeah. And I think it was, part of him was him, he's kind of like had to come to terms with some of that.
Nah, he stopped before Juice WRLD, because I think he says in the Hendrix documentary, when Hendrix came out in 2019, he said he was sober for like 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, whatever. I remember. It's music. I take it as entertainment the same way I don't expect Jackie Chan to be beating the shit out of people in the street. Like, it's...
Yeah.
I remember him saying that he felt really, really... Like, it was an interview he did, and if I remember correctly, he said he felt really, really weird when Juice WRLD told him...
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, when Juice WRLD told him that he was the reason that he tried lean for the first time.
Yeah.
And he said that really messed him up.
Yeah, it was part of him having to come to the grips of, like... Yeah, that was kind of a big essence of his shit. And a lot of the younger kids... Future is so influential. When you look at hip-hop right now... You see so many Future babies. Like, as much as I would say Drake is probably the most influential guy of the, like, that era, no, like, there's so many Future babies walking around. So yeah, Future has so much fucking influence.
Yeah, you know, so right, like, here he says in general. So it was like around the same time Beast Mode 2 dropped, actually. So when it said, when he told me that, I was like, oh shit, what the fuck have I done? It really bothered me. It bothered me a lot more than I think that would bother me when he told me that. I didn't think I'd care about that stuff 4 years ago. I probably wouldn't have cared if he told me, oh, that was good, you was drinking. Now it's like, oh shit, how many other sixth graders did I influence to drink lean?
Yeah.
Which was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you said this is around Beast Mode 2. So that's probably a similar timeline what I was discussing. Yeah. I don't know. But
yep.
Future. Fun fact about this album, I think he wanted to call it I'm Good Love and Joy, which is what he DM'd a woman that tried to fly out to him or something. Some fucking weird gossip story.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Beast Mode 2 also, per Hip Hop by the Numbers, after confessing that he stopped drinking lean, Beast Mode 2 features the least amount of references to lean on any of his commercial projects.
This is a real Hoopers podcast. We don't do
analytics. Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry.
I'm not going to lie. Just saying. I got to talk to you about it. I need to know how they get some of these numbers. They, I feel like
So Pluto, really quick. This is the last bit of nerd numbers. Pluto has 39 references to Lean. Honest has 14. DS2 has 41. Evol has 16. Future has 39. Hendrix has 11. And then Beast Mode 2 has 4. Only 4 references to Lean. One piece.
It's also a 9-track EP.
Yeah,
that's like fair.
30 minutes long.
That's fair.
Yeah,
I think the sentiment there.
Yeah. This is the. I shouldn't say that because Wizard is after. This is one of the last times I feel like Future is not leaning all the way in on the whole toxic masculinity persona thing that he does now. I think there's still, I think he's starting to pick up on it now. This is around the time he became the meme, you know, with like the fucking Dexter, like I let you down, and it's a picture of Future or whatever. And they had like Future with the whole Bible or some shit, whatever. Weird stuff 13-year-olds that don't talk to girls do on the internet. So he, like, this is the beginning of that. This is the beginning of those type of conversations, even if his music's been filled with that forever. But that was the beginning of these conversations on there, and that's why he wanted to name it some stupid-ass title like I'm Good, Love, and Joy.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being a scumbag in your music. I'm usually a bitch.
No. There's nothing usually, being like, wrong with.
Listen, there's nothing wrong with. Scumbag Usher is the best Usher.
Like I said, it's been in his music his whole career. Then the mentions started happening, and then
It just became just
the song started leaning into it.
It was he like, you kinda, you're, yeah, he's forcing it.
He's forcing it. But I love Beast Mode too.
It was great. Wi-Fi lit.
This thing was like just a surprise for me. I'm not the biggest Future fan. I remember liking this when it came out, and then going back and just being like, this is amazing. Like just the connection with him as Beethoven. All this stuff just seems like such natural Future. When you dig back to older Future projects, it seems like it just has that essence, but still with the progressions that he had made throughout the year. So dope project. It was funny when you picked this. I was like, Young is kind of bugging because I think DS2 is the Future sequel pick. That's what I thought in my head, but I definitely get it a lot more.
DS2 is the better album, but it's like with Beast Mode 1 and 2, I thought there was enough connectivity that Blonded was talking about when we first started this conversation and what you want from a sequel album.
Yeah,
I think Beast Mode 2 encapsulates exactly what you want from a sequel album. You get the Beethoven beats, you get that sort of nostalgic feel of what they first created, but at the same time it's modern enough and it's new enough that you can latch on to it. Like I don't think a Beast Mode 3 would work. Like this is kind of the last time you can get that Beethoven Future collab, I think, besides like a few songs here and there, but as a full project. Last thing I want to say, if anyone I know in real life is listening, me and my friends all the time used to, like, when Rax Blue came out, we would annoy the fuck out of each other. just ask in the middle of a conversation, like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what? What am I supposed to do when these Rags Blue, bro? Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I was going to say, give your favorite song off here. There's only, like, 9, so I guess, like, what's your favorite?
Dodo.
Cuddle My Wrist. I just love saying it. Probably Cuddle My Wrist. Either Cuddle My Wrist or 31 Days.
Let me say something. Since I don't know if we're gonna talk about the new Future. Speaking of Cuddle My Wrist, that's the type of energy I feel like he's been lacking in his music like the last 2 years. If you think about like how he goes from the hook to like this high pitched like screeching, basically. You talk about like I got a monkey on my back and all that shit. Like he doesn't come with that same energy anymore. And I think a lot of that is, like I was saying, with the whole leaning into this persona the internet built for him. So, Future, yeah. I know you're a big Running Back the Hits fan, bro. Just have some fun with your music again, man. Like, yeah. Fucking enjoy that shit. Stop just churning out money grabs.
And it's wild because I still think, for what it's worth, the newest Future is not bad. Like, I ended up liking it a lot more than I thought I was gonna.
A lot of people do like it. I shouldn't say that like it's consensus, because it's not consensus. A lot of people like it, but there's a writer at Pitchfork, I think his name is Alphonse something.
Alphonse Pierre,
yeah. He wrote like literally every thought I had about that album.
His review was really, really good. He does
great. And he still gave it like a 7. I would have gave it a little bit lower, but like, yeah, he still gave it like a 7 out of 10, but he grabbed everything I was thinking of. Just like, it has all the makings of being a classic Future album without any of the effort.
And then some more is my favorite off Peace Mode too. That's the
Future. Some more
one.
All in all, great Future project.
Very, very good.
Very underrated, very slept on. One that kind of like got lost within all the other stuff he's put out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, just a lot of stuff dropped in 2018 as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is what this show's about, you know? We don't let you forget about the stuff like Beast Mode 2.
We got one more.
We're coming to the grand finale that fucking Blonded bestowed upon himself that his is so important. We got to save it for last.
Yes. So the last project we will be discussing is Man on the Moon 2 by Kid Cudi. Man on the Moon 2, The Legend of Mr. Rager. This is the sequel to Man on the Moon 1, The End of Day. It is a direct sequel. It also follows a narrative. It follows the story of this character, Mr. Rager, who I think if you listen to the project is
pause
kind of
for a second.
Of...
Can you repeat the character's name again? The character of a grown man?
Mr. Rager.
Let me go ahead. We follow
Mr. Rager. So Man on the Moon. Man on the Moon 2 features production from Anthony Killoffer, Blended Babies, Chuck English, longtime of Cool Kids fame, Dot the Genius, Plain Pat, Kanye West, obviously, and Jim Johnson and Emil. This was released in 2010. Right. A year or so after Man on the Moon 1, which was obviously his big break from Day and Night, and it is at this point certified platinum, became platinum in 2018, the year that we were just talking about. And it is a 17-song album featuring not one, not two, not three, not four, but 5 acts within the album. Those of you that do follow Kid Cudi knew that early in his career he'd like to have acts. So, for example, Man on the Moon 1 had 5 acts as well, I believe. Yeah, it did. And Man on the Moon 2 also had 5 acts. The lead single was Erase Me featuring Kanye West, which featured a video of Kid Cudi looking like, what is his name? I'm completely blanking on the guitarist now. Who is the famous guitarist? Oh my God. Yeah, he looked like Hendrix. Mm-hmm. and also featured Kanye West giving the greatest poop related verse outside
funny,
of Lift
funny.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Very funny. The height of her shopping was writers blocking me. I couldn't get my shit out anyway. I hope you diarrhea.
Yeah.
Because the girl's name was Rhea. So my thoughts
Blonda,
on the album.
Blonda, before you start, can you take us into the mind of 2010 Blonded? What was 2010 like?
So yeah, 2010. Yeah. So I was a big Kid Cudi fan because I was an angsty teenager. I think at this point, 2010, I was in 10th grade, so I was a sophomore. I had just finished getting relocated to another school because I got caught with weed. That whole story, I don't know if you guys remember, it was explained in the court one time, but I'd just been relocated to another school.
I don't know this story. I don't know if I want to
so,
know this.
So what, long story short, as a freshman in high school, I was like, I kind of want to try music. At this point, you know, So Far Gone had dropped, Man on the Moon 1 had dropped, and I was like, I could be emotional and talk about stuff like that, because I wasn't going to talk about flipping bricks or whatever. So I found somebody at the school who does music and recorded with them. or no, I wanted to record with them, so I tried to get in with them and be cool or whatever. He evidently was a weed dealer. So one time he just said, hey, can you hold this for me? I can't bring this in the house because of my parents. And I'm trying to be cool with him. So I'm like, yeah, I can hold it. I didn't know where to put it because I was freaking out. I didn't want to keep it at home. Mind you, I didn't smoke weed or whatever. So I was kind of freaking out holding it, but also like I wanted to get in with this guy because I didn't know how to do recording or anything like that. So I went home and then I didn't know where to put it. I had a band competition that night because I was in marching band. I'm in the drum line. And so I put it in my hat box.
You were the first person in marching band to get caught with weed. You know
that. And yeah, probably. And so basically, long story short, I had told my best friend who was on the marching band that I had weed in my thing. I guess he leaked that information to the wrong person. And then somebody in the flute section snitched. And I got called off. I had to go in. I immediately got suspended for like 2 weeks. And then,
no, that's nuts. I thought it was going to be like dogs or some shit.
No.
And then, that's fucked up, bro. That's real bad.
And then it was really bad. My family was all pissed. And then the school was basically like, we won't expel you, but you have to leave and relocate, because my dad lived in Harrisburg at the time. So they're like, you can move out there and just don't say anything about what happened, but we're going to make it look like we expelled you and have a whole like assembly about it and everything. So everyone who wasn't super close to me just assumed I got expelled because of that. So anyways, I say all that to say, you know, at that point I was really, really angsty, emotional, and I wouldn't say I was in a dark place, but I was a new kid in a school that was mostly white. It was like a culture shock for me coming from around like the Philadelphia area. My school was pretty diverse, to going to a really rural all white school with like Confederate flags, pickup trucks, like the whole nine yards there, like to the point where the guidance counselor my first day there was like, hey, if anybody gives you any problems about how you look, let me know. And I was like, what the hell, you know. I felt kind of lonely in that sense. And I think that this album at the time when it came out, it being a darker album than the first one, really connected with me in that sense, because Cudi, there's a lot of themes of depression and loneliness on this album. And that comes from Cudi's issues with cocaine and drug rehabilitation. And obviously not the same for me, but there's a connection with that. And I think the story of Mr. Rager and just the concept of battling those demons or whatever and fighting that loneliness and depression really, really resonated with me. And I really, really liked the darker direction it took and like the psychedelic elements that came into it, especially when you listen to songs like Revivev, Marijuana, Mojo So Dope. But then, you know, they have your happy songs like Ashton Kutcher, and also an insane beat and an insane GLC feature. Shout out GLC, by the way, on the end. That song is crazy, and I love GLC's feature on that. It's always good to hear Cudi rap, because I think he's an underrated rapper just because of how good of a singer and like general writer he is. I think like he kind of fell off, but he used to be a really, really good rapper, especially a really good freestyler. And yeah, some really, really good songs there. My favorite songs overall are Don't Play This Song, Marijuana, Mojo So Dope, Erase Me, Maniac, Mr. Rager, obviously, The End, and then Ghost I feel is pretty timeless of a song. But yeah, I really liked it, and I think that Cudi beat the sophomore slump allegations with that album, although I think ultimately when you put them next to each other, I don't think Man on the Moon 2 is as good as Man on the Moon 1, but it's right there.
Yeah, it's really this, so I can clean it up.
No. I want all right, so first and foremost, I'm going to feel bad shitting on Cudi because he got you through a tough time, but like,
oh yeah, no,
I'm still going to do it because like,
okay, yeah, that's fine.
Cudi getting you through a tough time is crazy.
It didn't get me through a tough time. I just resonated with the music a lot.
Nah. 2010 youngest. I was about 13 years old. I think I was like in eighth grade. So Kid Cudi, much like Blonded, meant a lot to me. He was music I listened to a lot. It was music that like got me in the group of friends that I was in, and just stuff like Erase Me and Ashton Kutcher. And he was so big, I think, hold on, before I say what I was about to say, pretty sure Ashton Kutcher was like my alarm song for like 5 months.
Like, those drums go hard. Those drums go hard.
It used to wake me up every morning. Maybe that's why I can't listen to it anymore. So that was one of the songs I used to listen to all the time. But Cudi was like massive. Day and Night was like a pretty big song, and Man on the Moon was a big album. And we're talking about the explosion of Pursuit of Happiness and the remixes of Pursuit of Happiness. And then we find out he's like featured on songs with like David Guetta, and you know, he's all over the place. Kid Cudi Pandora was probably my favorite station.
He was all over every blog too. When that was, this was peak blog era.
He is the shiny new object. He is Kanye's predecessor. He is all these labels, and he's big. And Man on the Moon 2 was as hyped as it could have possibly been, and it delivered. I mean, it reached everything that Cudi was shooting for, and like you mentioned, it's a lot darker than the first one. He also goes a lot bigger between like production and just the concept of these songs. They're a lot grander. He taps into like Mary J. Blige and CeeLo Green and the familiar people like GLC and Chip the Ripa, and Kanye is on here. Like, all of that worked extremely well together, but for me, it's still Kid Cudi, and for me, it still didn't age the best for me. I was listening to this in preparation, and like, I got to Marijuana, and I wanted to just like it pissed
Marijuana,
me off.
Marijuana ends at 420, by the way. Marijuana specifically ends at 420.
If you didn't know by now, Marijuana kind of ends at like 417, but he makes sure there's 3 seconds of silence, so it ends
and
exactly
goes,
at 420. Yep, and that is the type of music we are dealing with. Songs like Erase Me and Ashton Kutcher and Mojo So Dope didn't really hit for me very well. The bigger concept songs like Don't Play This Song or Scott Mizcutty Versus the World or These Worries, like they... I'm looking at the track list now. Like, Wildin' 'Cause I'm Young really pissed me off.
I think
Young is a blog era ass song, though. To be fair. It's very much of its time.
And I'll be wildin' until I'm chillin'. But, like, Mr. Rager?
Hold on. Still out on Mr. Rager. There are some songs, though, that I did still really like. I like the second track, Revo Fev, I think.
Revolution.
You mentioned it. I think Ghost is amazing. I think Ghost is incredible. The best you can get from Cudi. The type of music you want him to make. It's a little grim. It's a little dark. He spends time, like, there's that moment in Ghost where he kind of halts everything and kind of does like a spoken word in some sense. And he does the melodies and all that good stuff like that. That's the kind of music I want from Cudi, and I want less of Mr. Rager. But I liked Maniac as well. All Along is another like prime middle school teenaged angst shit I don't really want to hear nowadays.
Yeah.
So Lee, your turn to clean it up after I just expressed my dislike for Man on the Moon too.
Cudi, it's so interesting to look at this album now with all the other projects he's put out as long as he's been in the game.
This was still part of his ascension, I feel like.
When this album came out, I really didn't like it. Like,
this is to borrow a term from like the rewatchables, this is his apex mountain. This is where he hit the absolute top. It's before the decline. There's no more real rise. It's like, this is superstar Kid Cudi after this album comes out.
Yeah, and when this album came out, I really didn't like it though. I remember liking the first Man on the Moon, so much that I was hearing. This album came out, I didn't really enjoy it. I kind of left it kind of just to the side. I went to see Cudi in like 2017 and for the Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying tour, a record that I really enjoyed. I was going to see him. and he's playing all these Patrick Bane songs, and he kind of gets to that point where he's like, I'm going to go back, play some bullshit, does some stuff in Down the Moon, and then you just hear the beginning of Mr. Rager. And I thought Mr. Rager was a cool track, whatever.
It's a moment.
Yeah, and like, in that, literally being at that show and like, you know, interacting with people I have met, talking to them, and just like, being there for that song, it actually like flipped a switch. I was like, let me go back and listen to this album. Maybe like I might like it a little bit more with time. I go back and run it back. And I'm like, okay, I'm seeing a lot now that I didn't at the time. I think where Cudi works best here is where he works best in a lot of places. Obviously using his voice as an instrument. Mm-hmm. Being able to like curate a sound. Instead of more of like the storytelling thematic parts of it. That part is not as much for me, but the way he uses his voice, the way he uses a lot of these features, I'm not a huge fan of the way he uses Mary J on Don't Play the Song, but I actually love her on These Worries. I think she sounds amazing. I think he sounds good with her on the song. How he uses CeeLo, I love that. St. Vincent, yay. You guys already talking about GLC and shit. Like, features are great. Production I love. Like, you guys talked about how it's a darker project, which is definitely necessary. Yeah, which is necessary for like the subject matter. And I think that's the part I didn't like at first. I was like, eh, this is kind of actually not, it's kind of just like some sad boy shit, but it's like actually not good. I think when I revisited it, I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of seeing a lot more that I didn't hear. And that's
yeah, you're sadder now. That's why. A lot more hopeless. That's why it's really
resonating. I mean, like the production on like songs like Maniac is really like those crossover elements. I think when you look over like kind of like the psychedelic parts or the alternative parts, because he was really into people like Kate, like St. Vincent, it comes like who produced Maniac, Killoffer, whatever. Mostly a dance producer. However, yeah. Hopping onto this, I think he did really good at mixing those elements together. And I think if you look at 2010. Really the only other album that could maybe be comparable to this vibe, why like I don't think any album that came out in 2010 was as sad as this when you look at top hip-hop albums. So you're looking at Kanye West, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, came out tail end of 2010, so not really the same. So Far, Not So Far Gone, Thank Me Later came out 2010 in June. Was that around the same time as this one? When did this come out? This came out
later. November. Cudi was super. And that was part of the thing in the beginning.
Like, who else was sad in hip-hop at the time?
I'm not even that. I think more just his sound was super unique. The way he was able to...
Hold on. Who was sad in hip-hop? Hold on. Did you not listen to All the Money in the World by Rick Ross on Teflon Don?
I'm not saying... I bring tears to your eyes. Making a sad music, like a sad-ass album?
And I think even bigger than that, I think the way that he was able to, like, get melodic on these songs...
Yeah.
Was something that wasn't really around, and it's something that I think is really good and really influential. Cudi is a guy
really influential
with time. We know how influential.
There's no 808s and Heartbreaks without Kid Cudi.
Yeah, there's not a lot without Kid Cudi.
You know why Blonded was able to listen to Kid Cudi at his new school? Because of that melodic shit. Because it wasn't rap music, which is fine. Yeah, it doesn't have to be rap music, but
yeah, it does.
He really did usher in the melodies into this. Is again, I scream about this literally every fucking episode, but this idea that rap isn't real music, and Cudi kind of he himself didn't push that narrative, but people use Cudi to push the narrative of he's not like other rappers. Yeah, he makes real
and, music. Yeah, and he didn't help with some of the shit he was saying in real time. That's definitely true. But I mean, there is something to what genre was some of this stuff? Some of this stuff wasn't really hip hop music.
No, it wasn't, and that's
That
Erase Me is not right. Erase Me just has a rap verse. It's not a hip hop song.
Yeah. And that's fine.
I think that what's it called? Another thing he did really well that was more of a moment thing, but he did a really good job, I think personally, of world building. I think when I think of people that have world built around their album as similar, as good, if not better, I think of somebody like Childish Gambino with Because the Internet. But the world that he built around that album with the documentaries coming up about Mr. Rager. He was in the press and news, like legitimately falling out of clubs, like getting carried off drunk or high or whatever the fuck he was, like really falling into that story, whether that was on purpose or not. And then obviously splitting everything up into acts and having this character of Mr. Rager and talking about raging at stuff, you know, which obviously would be influential later when you look at artists like Travis Scott or Lil Uzi, or whatever. Like he did a really good job of world building as well, which for me personally at the time really immersed myself into that world that I think he wanted his listeners to be in when listening to this album.
Yeah, and I even think the world building, like in the record itself, is really
is good. Yeah,
it sounds contained. Like it sounds like everything is meant to be together. The way he weaves everything together is good. This is a weird cutting project though, because it's not my favorite. Like there's some shit on here that I just really don't like. But man, I think there's some joints on here. Like,
what's your favorite Cudi?
Album or room?
All together. All, because mine's not an album, so that's why.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. Like, I love the last project. I love The Last Man on the Moon. I love him on Kids He Ghost. I was a Patrick Payne and Demon Slayer guy. Satellite Flight was one that I really, really enjoyed in real time.
Satellite Flight was really good.
Yeah, Satellite Flight is one that I enjoyed in real time.
Indie Cud was okay.
I'm not a huge Indie Cud guy, and I like the first. Like I like a lot. I like Indie Cud. He does.
Yeah, Indie Cud kind of like killed his career.
No,
it really did kill his career, and I don't think it was very like. I don't think it was that bad. I don't think it's unlistenable.
I mean, yeah, it's not fucking Speeding Bullet to Heaven. Like, it's not
that. Yeah, I don't think it's that bad. But yeah, my favorite Cudi project's A Kid Named Cudi. Still, it'll.
I was gonna say, so my top three Cudi projects are probably A Kid Named Cudi. I mean, A Kid Named Cudi, then it's. Then probably Man on the Moon 1, and then probably it's tough between Man on the Moon 2 or 3, and then Satellite Flight somewhere in there, and then Passion, Pain, and Demon Slaying is probably right there with Satellite Flight, and then Wizard is like probably right under that.
Yeah, I like
Wizard. Damn, I forgot he put out that much music, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting weirded out about how much Cudi I like. I don't even know if I had to do a top three. I would do Man on the Moon.
Also, Kid Cudi, a part of the greatest freshman class cover of all time.
Sure.
I also think he's probably the biggest.
I wasn't really thinking about, but I would agree with it. Fuck it.
So yeah, he was on the. Class. Yeah, he was in the cover with Asher Roth, Charles Hamilton, B.O.B., Currency, Ace Hood, Blue, Corey Guns, and Mickey Fax.
Do you know what that? Do you know what song that cover gave us?
No.
Change Gone Come with B.O.B., Asher Roth, and Charles Hamilton. That's honestly fucking.
Charles Hamilton was the most talented person on this cover, and it's a shame of how his career turned out. But Charles Hamilton was also making.
Wanda, bro, we should have had you on the show sooner. Don't worry, I got an episode for you.
Charles Hamilton was the most talented person on that cover, and it's a shame that he went crazy or whatever the fuck happened. But he was making similar.
He didn't go crazy. He punched a cop, which is a crazy act in itself. He didn't go crazy. He just punched a cop.
But like, no, he was making music. He was. Like, as a producer and stuff, he was super talented. He was super out there. He was producing all his own shit. And his work ethic was just crazy. Like, you ever listen to Charles Hamilton just freestyle? It's insane. It was insane. He was so, so good. And he was also making music that was openly, bro.
He
openly
rapped
vulnerable.
Over the sound. He rapped over the sound of the Windows PC opening.
Yeah.
And he just put it on loop, man.
Yeah.
Who else doing that shit?
No, Charles Hamilton.
Charles Hamilton was insane. It's a, but yeah, I consider that the greatest. Like,
yeah, no, Cudi that's was, a good, like,
Cudi was probably the, Cudi's definitely the biggest one out of all, even though Wale is on that one too. I remember that we had that trio going on for a little bit of Drake, Wale, and Cudi. Mm-hmm. Drake would have been on that cover if they didn't give him and Nicki their own cover.
I mean, Currency was on there. Ace
yeah.
Hood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Corey Guns. Shout out Corey Guns.
Mickey Fax. Blue.
Our guy, Blue.
Shout out Blue.
Shout out Blue. Okay. My last note on Man on the Moon 2, because, you know, always got to turn this into a movie pod. Mm-hmm. But What got me back on Ghost? There was a movie in 2019 named Waves, which I did not like very much. And one of my biggest gripes with the movie, it felt like the director wanted to make fucking... He had like an iPod of songs and was like, I want to make a movie and put all these songs in there. And he made the movie and he put all this music in there and none of it means anything. But there is a scene, a major fucking scene in the movie. Like, it's a major twist. And Ghost is the song playing in the background. And you're watching something legitimately fucking shocking happen. And Ghost is playing in the background. And I couldn't get the song out of my head after watching it. And I just kept playing Ghost. And I was like, yeah, okay. So this is the one time he understood what a song would mean in a movie. And Ghost really felt that like haunting vibe and that like legit terrifying. I don't know. Maybe I should ruin. I'm not gonna ruin the fucking movie. Don't watch Waves. But yeah, there's some fucked up shit that happens, and when it's happening, Ghost of all songs is playing.
Yeah. Ghost. Listen, Ghost. Ghost is one of those things, man.
I mean, I guess last thoughts from now on too. It's interesting to look back on. It's not. In my opinion, it's not his best work, but I think it's the most important Kid Cudi album. When you look at where Kid Cudi is now, I mean, he still has this cult level of appreciation, even through dropping projects that just a lot of people really hated. And I think a lot of that is rooted in Man on the Moon too. Made the first Man on the Moon, people liked it a lot. He drops this one, it really like builds that cult to where. All right, yeah, you did a speeding bullet to heaven. A lot of us aren't really fucking with that. Even like Indica, a lot of us aren't fucking with that. You're doing stuff that a lot of us aren't fucking with. But I think what he did with Man on the Moon 2 just builds that cult that stayed with Cudi literally forever.
Like, it's certified cult status with Cudi.
He is so big off of two albums that he is still out here tricking the rest of y'all.
Here you go. Man on the Moon 3 was
Kid
good.
Cudi trick, yo. Man on the Moon 3 was good. Satellite Flight was good.
Kids See Ghost was really good.
Kids See Ghost, really good.
In my opinion.
Yeah, Kids See Ghost is probably the last. You know, since we're hopefully never talking about Cudi again on this show. I know Lee's sick right now. You know what my favorite Cudi song is? Christian Dior Denim Flow. He's fucking nuts.
Yo, Cudi destroys that. That was a moment for Cudi on that song when the beat slows down and then he does his verse, bro. That was insane. Christian Dior Denim Flow not being on My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is crazy.
Yeah, he was good for like some good music stuff. Even Creepers,
random Lloyd Banks collab. Feature on that song.
Like, yeah.
Shout
out to Cudi, man. Cudi got a lot. I'm looking back on it. Cudi got a lot of good. There is a lot of bad here. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a lot of good shit in here. So shout out to Cudi.
All right. That might be the end of our show, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Really Blondie. Quickly, I want to thank you guys again. Yeah. Thanks
No. We're not done wrapping up yet. Okay. You can save your
save that for the very end.
First and foremost, Blondie, you do a lot of stuff. What is some stuff you want to plug? I know you like Twitch stream all this shit. So where can the people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Eddie Get the Band. So I
don't suggest doing that. Is there another spot that you
find? So you can follow me on Twitch at Eddie Get the Bands. You can hit me up on Discord at Blondie _007. I'd be on Discord a lot. Feel free to join the Blondie Life Discord. We're there. We're a good community of people. Lee's in there. Youngest goes in there for 5 minutes and leaves every now and then. But, you know, good group of people in there. Also, you can find me on Instagram at Eddie Get the Bands. I have really good Instagram posts, really funny stories on there as well. And then you can find my music on Spotify and Apple Music, searching up Eddie Madrid. Also on SoundCloud under Eddie Madrid. And then there is a YouTube channel as well where I will be directing some videos soon, looking to get into short films or whatever eventually. I have some spec scripts done, but we'll see where that goes. And also you can find me in the unemployment line.
Oh man.
That's where I am. And I want to give a shout out to all my fans out there that are going to be tuning into
this. Yo, what are you doing?
I would love you all for real.
All right. No. Take this shit back over, man. Blonde man, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
I appreciate y'all. Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, man.
I'm happy to get y'all listens up. You know, that's what I'm here for.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate it. And listen, you end up with the most listened to episode, and we'll bring you back. Like,
yeah, not a lot of women listen to this shit. If you since you know a lot of women,
that's crazy.
Which I mean, we talk a lot about like 90s hip hop.
Yeah, if you know any girls that are interested in our MF Doom episode with Evil.
Oh, I know loads. Yeah, loads will be interested in that MF
Anyways,
Doom episode.
Like, review, mm-hmm. Give us 5 stars. Thank you for tapping in with us.
Yes, sir.
5-star it up.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Thank you.